Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Yotesh. I thank Alicia Graf very, very much for giving the shiur over the past couple of days, especially the yesterday, which was on very late notice. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, also sponsored by Avishai Newman, Li'ili Nishmas' father, whose yard site is today or tomorrow? Tomorrow. His yard site is tomorrow. Also for Refu Shlema, for Yecheskel Aaron Ben Gittel, who is very sick with COVID on a ventilator, sponsored by his families. You should have Refu Shlema Besoch, Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So Alicia got us all the way to the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis. I understand that in the last cycle, I did not get us all the way to the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis, so people who are listening to that will have to fill it in. But anyway, so we're holding up the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and the Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara is going to discuss the Malacha of Kosev on Chol HaMoed, as well as spinning thread on Chol HaMoed, when one is not allowed to do those two things. And then after that, once we get to the Mishnah in the middle of the page on Yud Ches Amud, if the Gemara is going to transition into Hilchos Avelus. All of Hilchos Avelus is in the third parak of Moed Katan, and this is where it is. This is exactly where that discussion of Hilchos Avelus begins. So the Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara is going to discuss the effect that Shabbos and Yom Tov have on Avelus Shiva and Avelus Shloshim. What are the rules in terms of Shabbos and Yom Tov being mafsik in the middle of the Avelus? What happens to the Avelus going forward? And also in that context, we're going to discuss the principle of Miktsas Hayom Kikulo. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the source of the concept of Shloshim, of 30 days of Avelus. Where do we ever learn that there is such a din called Shloshim? And then the Gemara is going to discuss, we'll see if we get to it today, how to count Shiva and Shloshim if a mace is buried on Yom Tov, meaning if the Avelus doesn't even begin on Yom Tov, so Yom Tov is not going to count for Shiva. What about Shloshim? You do observe most of all the dinim of Shloshim when the person is buried on Yom Tov. So does that start the clock on Shloshim even before the clock on Shiva has actually begun? So let's begin with the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. So says the Mishnah, Ein Kosin Shtari Chov B'Moed. So again, this Mishnah is going to discuss the Malach of Kosev and also spinning threads on Chol HaMoed. So number one, you're not allowed to write a Shtar Chov on Chol HaMoed, because you could write the Shtar after Chol HaMoed. You don't have to write it on Yom Tov itself. Even though the Sfasemis points out, even though typically this would be against the halacha, typically as soon as you lend money, you have to write a shtar. There's a halacha that you have to write a shtar when you lend money, because if the lov is going to be machish the halva, he's going to deny the halva'a, it's going to be a violation of lifnei iver by not writing a shtar, because you're causing him to be enticed to deny the halva'a. But nevertheless, because there is an isra of ksiva on Chol HaMoed, so the chacham were not choshesh for that concern of lifnei iver, and therefore we override the normal rule that we would have that you must write a shtar every time you lend money. Tos Yom Tov points out over here that in the previous Mishnah we said that you're allowed to write a shtar matana on Chol HaMoed, because there's a chashash that the nosein is going to be makhish the nesina samatana, and therefore it's a davara aved. But over here by the halva'a, you don't have to be choshesh that he's going to be kofer in the halva'a, because you did him a favor, and the assumption is that he's not going to be a lover rush of a lo yishalim. That since he gave him a halva'a, mistami, you don't have to worry that he's going to be kofer halva'a, because that would be an extra act of rishus to be kofer in halva'a in money that's actually owed to him, as opposed to nosi matana, feels that he didn't you didn't do anything for me. I wanted to give you a matana. Now I changed my mind. I don't want to give you a matana. So he may be kofer after Yom Tov, and that's more of a reason to consider it a davra aved by a matana than by a halva'a. The Mishnah continues, v'imenu ma'amino, if the malva doesn't trust the lova to lend the money without a shtar, so then osha ein lo mayochal, or the sofer who's writing the shtar needs the parnasa, he doesn't have what to eat on Yom Tov, so then hareza yichtov, then you're allowed to write the shtar on Chol HaMoed. The Bir Halacha has a discussion, the Machlokas and Poskim, Bir Halacha quotes in Simtav Kuf Mem Beis, if this heter of Ein Lo Mayochal is dafka that he doesn't even have lechem o mayim, or it's just that he doesn't have kedei tzorche yom tov, that'll survive, he has lechem o mayim, but he doesn't have all the things that he would like to have for Yom Tov to be able to make a nice Yom Tov. Then the Mishnah continues, Ein kosin svarin, tefillin, and mezuzos b'moed. You're not allowed to write Sifrei Torah or tefillin or mezuzos on Chol HaMoed when there's no Tzorach HaMoed itself. Ve'ein magiyin osachas, and you're not allowed to even fix one letter. Afilu b'sefer Ezra, even in the Sefer Torah of Ezra HaSofer, which was kept in the Beis HaMikdash and was the most precise of all the Sifrei Torah, and that was the one that they would use to write other Sifrei Torah from, even that you're not allowed to be magia on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to fix on Chol HaMoed. Now Rashi quotes that there are some that are goreis, not Sefer Ezra, but Sefer Azara, with a hey at the end, not with an aleph at the end. And it refers to the Sefer Torah that they kept in the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Bab Basra, or Rashi rather, in Bab Basra and Daf Yudalar and Beis, writes that the Sefer Azara was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was the one that the Kohen Gadol read from on Yom HaKippurim. However, the Chazon Ish in Yodayim, in Masechus Yodayim, in Simon Ches, writes that that was only during the period of Bayis Rishon that they had the Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. But in Bayis Sheni, the Kohen Gadol and the Melech would read not from the Sefer written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but from the Sefer written by Ezra. And therefore, both Girsaos, whether you have a Girsa of Sefer Ezra or whether you have the Girsa of Sefer Azara, they're the same thing, because the Sefer in the Azara was the Sefer that was written by Ezra HaSofer. So even such an important Sefer Torah, where they rely on that for the accuracy of all Sifrei Torah, even that you're not allowed to be Magia Osachas on Yom Tov. You wait until after Yom Tov to be Magia Osachas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kosevel and Tfilin Mezuzos La'atzma. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to write Tfilin and Mezuzos for your own needs in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tfilin, in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mezuzah, but for other people who hired you to do so, or to write in order to sell to other people, to go out to the market to sell, that you're not allowed to do. Only for your own needs you're allowed to write. Wait a second, you're allowed to write Tfilin for your own needs on Chol HaMoed. Doesn't that tell you something? Right? The Gemara in Menachos tells us that Shabbos and Yom Tov is lav zman tefillin. There's no mitzvah to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because by tefillin the pasuk says va'yilo usal yadcha ultatavos beinecha, and Chazal learned that you don't have to put on tefillin on days that don't require an oath. Shabbos and Yom Tov, they themselves are an oath, and therefore they don't require another oath of tefillin. Whereas every other day that does require an oath, tefillin is there's a chiyuv to put on tefillin. So by Chol HaMoed there's a machlokas rishonim whether there's a mitzvah to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not. Whether there's a chiyuv tefillin is a Chol HaMoed a day that has an os, is an os a function of an isra malacha? What exactly is os a function of? Is it a function of the mitzvah sayom like sukkah and matzah, which do apply, but the isra malacha is not exactly the same? So that's a major machlokas rishonim whether there's a chiyuv tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So here you have a mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says you're only allowed to do things that are tzorach HaMoed, like writing your own tefillin. How could that be a tzorach HaMoed if you hold like those we showed them that say that you don't put on tefillin Chol HaMoed? So Tosos on Daf Yutas Amud Aleph over here in Dibra Masla Rabbi Yossi says there is no raya from Rabbi Yehuda that you're allowed to write tefillin on Chol HaMoed. From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to write tefillin Chol HaMoed, that you put on tefillin Chol HaMoed, because he says Rabbi Yehuda's shita in Erev and Daf Tzadi Vav is that Shabbosos and Yom Tovim are Zman Tfilin. So if you keep in mind who the Tana is that's talking, so this Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, not what we paskin like, holds that Shabbos and Yom Tov is Zman Tfilin. So of course he's going to hold you put on Tfilin Chol HaMoed. Our question in Rishonim is according to what we paskin like, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are not Zman Tfilin, so then where does Chol HaMoed fit into the picture? The Ritva writes that even though you don't put on Tfilin Chol HaMoed, it could still be considered a Tzorech, because Rabbi Yehuda is matzah to write tefillin for yourself so that you'll have it readily available to you as soon as Yom Tov is over. And maybe that's why it's not a raya. And then the Rabbi Yehuda adds, once we're talking about doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, v'tova al yerecho tcheles l'tzitziso. Once we're talking about doing malacha for the tzorach of mitzvos on Chol HaMoed, he says you're allowed to spin threads on your thigh to make a tcheles for your tzitzis. Tcheles has to be dafka on wool, wool. Tchelis doesn't work on linen, even though both a beged of wool and linen is chayiv midaraisa in tzitzis. Machlokas Rishonim, whether other begadim are chayiv midaraisa in tzitzis. But when it comes to the strings have to be wool. The white strings don't have to be wool, but the blue strings have to be wool because the tchelis dye doesn't take to anything but wool. It only attaches itself to wool. So you need to have wool strings in order to make tzitzis. So tviya has to be done. You need to be spinning the strings in order to have tcheles on the tzitzis. That's why, by the way, since the Torah says that there's that you need that a beggar of tzemer and a beggar of pishtim is chayiv in tzitzis, a beggar of linen is chayiv in tzitzis. So that's how we know asay dochalos asay, because if you need to put tcheles on a four cornered linen garment and the tcheles has to be wool and the garment is linen, so you see that there's a nisr of shatnas being done, but you're allowed to do that because the mitzvah asay of tzitzis is docha the isser of shatnas. But the Mishnah is telling us, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, you're allowed to spin, but only on your thigh. You're not allowed to spin in the normal way. It's employing a shinui from the normal way that you would do it, to spin between your fingers, or to use a pelech, which is the kli that they would use to spin threads. That would be usher to do. So you see, Tosus points out that you see that Rabbi Yehuda does not allow spinning threads on moed for the mitzvah of tzitzis unless you employ a shinui. But it's interesting, he never made any such requirement when he spoke about how you're allowed to write tefillin and mezuzos on Chol HaMoed. Why didn't he say that you're allowed to do it, but only if you employ a shinui? So Tosus points out, because by tefillin and mezuzos, you need a ksivatama. You need a good writing. You need it to be, it's hard enough to write tefillin and mezuzos. You can do it with the shinui. What are your tefillin and mezuzos going to look like? It has to be a proper writing. So whereas by spinning threads, you're able to do it with a shinui. Now the Mishnah mentions that there's an isser of writing tefillin and mezuzos and of spinning threads. The Mishnah doesn't talk about the isser of making the tefillin or the isser of tying the tzitzis. So Tosus in Dibra Maskel V'Tova says maybe there is no such isser. Maybe the whole question is only about writing the tzitzis and writing the tefillin and spinning the threads, but maybe putting together the tefillin and maybe tying the tzitzis would not be an isser bechlal on Chol HaMoed. Someone wants to do tzitzis tying on Chol HaMoed, says Tosus, maybe that would not be a problem at all. So says the Gemara, now Tan Rabbanan. That a person writes on Chol HaMoed tefillin and mezuzos for himself, and he could spin on his thigh tchelas for his tzitzis. Ula acherim betova, and he's allowed to do it for other people, but only if he doesn't get paid for it. Divrei Meir, only if it's betova, he doesn't get paid for it. It's just a favor he's doing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you want to get paid to do these things for other people, here I have an etzah for you. Marim umochra shalom, just do a trick and sell your own tefillin and mezuzos, because there's no isra in selling tefillin and mezuzos. The isra is in writing them in order to use them for business. So if you want to do business, sell your own pair of tefillin, sell your own mezuzos, and then you're going to need, and for your own need, you're allowed to write. So then you can write, the tefillin and mezuzos that you're going to need for yourself, because once you've already sold yours, you're going to need for yourself. So you're allowed to be kosev on Chol HaMoed, and tzoruch mitzvah they permit doing this harama on Chol HaMoed for the sake of a mitzvah, but a harama that's not Litzorach Mitzvah, the Shitas Talmud Rimi Pariz points out that we would never allow it. That the only reason that Rabbi Yehuda allows such a harama is because it's for the sake of a mitzvah. But for anything else, we would never allow doing such a harama. From the sheet of Rashi in the Mishnah, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda only allows being kosev la'acherim that the Rabbi Yehuda does not aser being kosev la'acherim unless you're getting paid for it. And that's what the Ran writes in the Imra Ben Yonason as well. So it turns out that Bein Rameir, Bein Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to write for other people b'chinam. The machlokas is that Rameir asers selling to other people even with Arama, and Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, at least you could do Arama, meaning they both agree that you're allowed to write for others for free. They both agree you're not allowed to write for others to get paid for it. But the whole machlokas is, can you do this harama of selling your own stuff? And now I need to write in order to have my own. When I was in Chicago, I met with Rabbi Prero, and he told me that Josh's uncle. He told me that he read in the book about Rabbi Grossman that Rabbi Grossman walks around with two yarmulkes on his head. because if he meets a secular Jew that and he wants him to say a bracha, so he always wants to give him a yarmulke, but the person would feel bad that he's taking Rabbi Grossman's yarmulke, even though he has a hat, he doesn't want to take his yarmulke, so he has two yarmulkes on his head at all times. So Rabbi Perlow said, I want every yeshiva bracha to have a yarmulke in his back pocket, to be able to have that achrayus for Klal Yisrael, to always be able to share a yarmulke with another person. So this haram is not like that. This haram is saying, give the one yarmulke you have, give the one tefillin, the one tzitzis that you have. I know some mechanichim that say, when I was sitting with a mechanich who said, my talmidim do keep a yarmulke in their pocket, the one that's supposed to be on their head, they give it in their pocket. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Kosei V'mocher Kedarko Kedei Parnasasa. Rabbi Yossi says you could write and you could sell to other people in the normal way without a harama in order that you have to make more money berevach, even though you have what to eat, but just to make a proper parnasa. So Arule Rav the Rav Chananel, Rav Paskin to Rav Chananel, Vamrila Rabbi Barber Chananel the Rav Chananel, Halacha Kosei V'mocher Kedarko Kedei Parnasasa, that you're even allowed to write Tefillin and Mezuzos in the normal way just to make a living on Cholamoid, that you don't need to do a harama like Rabbi Yehuda, certainly not like Rabbi Meir, that there's an isser entirely to sell to other people. You're allowed to write and to sell on Chol HaMoed. And then the Mishnah said, V'tova al yirecho tcheles, that you're allowed to spin the threads for tzitzis on your thighs. So Tan Rabban, tova adam al yirecho tcheles tzitziso, avalo be'evin, but you're not allowed to use a stone to hold the thread in place that aids in the spinning process. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, v'cham momrim af Evan, the Chum say you're even allowed to use an Evan to spin the threads, because even though you do need to use some sort of shinoi, it's enough of a shinoi not to use a pelech. You don't use the normal instrument they use to spin threads. That's good enough, even though you are being aided by an Evan. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that be'evan avalo befelech, that you could use a stone but not a felech. The Chum omrim bein be'evan bein befelech, and the Chum say you're allowed to even use a felech. Not only are you allowed to use an Evan, you could even use a Felech. So Rabbi Yeruchim points out that the Pashas of Chum is you don't need any sort of Shinoi when you spin threads for Tzitzis. Both by the Chutei Tcheles and by the Chutei Lavan, you're allowed to do it without any sort of Shinoi. And that goes Ashri on the side of the Rush. In Simon Chav Dalet, he says that the Chachamim were only Matir to be Tova without a Shinoi, the Tcheles strands. But the white strands, then you would still need a Shinoi. So he has some sort of Svara why you'd be Mechalik between the Tcheles and the Lovin. But the Pashtus of the Gemara is certainly not that way. The Pashtus of the Gemara is that the Chum are telling you that you don't need a Shinoi at all. You're allowed to spin the threads. Amar Rabbi Domer Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha bein be'evan, bein befelech. The Halacha is that you're allowed to use both the stone and the felech, like the Chachamim, the way they understand, the way Rabbi Yehuda understands their Shita, that you're allowed to do both evan and felech. V'halacha, Kosev Kedarko Mocher Kedei Parnasaso, and as far as writing tefillin and mezuzos on Chol HaMoed, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi's shita that we had mentioned before, that you can write in the normal way and sell in the normal way, even if it's just to make a parnasa. Period. Now we begin a whole new topic. We're going to begin the halachos of Avelus. When a person loses a relative after the Kavura, from the time of Stimas HaGolol, whatever that is, different shitos and poskim, the dinim of Avelus begin. And Avelus has three sections to it. There's Avelus Shiva, then there's Avelus Shloshim, which is 30 days from the Kvura, meaning the Shiva is included in the Shloshim, and then there's for Dafka, for Avivimo, there's Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh. So in the next couple of Dabim, we're going to be discussing what these Dinim of Avelus are. So first, the Mishnah tells us, HaKovers Meso Shloshi Yom Kodem L'Regel. If a person buries his relative 3 days before Yom Tov, Batla Imenu Gzeres Shiva. When Yom Tov starts, his Shiva ends. The din of Shiva is over as long as he's already observed 3 days of Avelus in advance of Yom Tov. This is not how we paskin. We paskin if you've observed 3 minutes, 3 seconds, if you've observed any Avelus prior to Yom Tov, that the Shiva would be stopped by Yom Tov. But this is the Shita in the Mishnah, that you need 3 days of observance of Shiva in order for Yom Tov to stop the Shiva. Shmona, Batlei Menu Gzeres Shloshim. If one buried is dead 8 days before Yom Tov, so he completed Shiva and then observed one day of the Dinim of Shloshim, then the Dinim of Shloshim end at Yom Tov. The Yom Tov is Mevatel the Shloshim. Because Chazal taught us that when it comes to Avelus, Shabbos counts toward this Shiva, counts as one of the 7 days of the Shiva, and it's not Mafsik the Avelus. The Avelus would continue after Shabbos. A person starts sitting Shiva on whatever, a Wednesday, so he would continue sitting Shiva after Shabbos as well. But regalim mafsikin ve'inan olim. But regalim that are chal during the days of Avelus are totally different from Shabbos. Once you've been knowing 3 days of Avelus of your Shiva, or one day of your Shloshim, the regal is going to be mafsik your Avelus, and the regal doesn't count toward your Avelus. Well, wait a second, if it's mafsik, why do I need it to count toward my Avelus? So the Avelus is over anyway. So what it means is, in those situations that we're going to describe, where one does need to observe Avelus after Yom Tov, the days of Yom Tov will not count toward the Avelus. Meaning, let's say a person dies on Yom Tov and they bury him on Chol HaMoed. So the Avelus is not going to be stopped by Yom Tov, because it was never observed, not even for a moment. Or in the case of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah assumes you need 3 days of Avelus in advance of Yom Tov in order for Yom Tov to stop the Avelus. What if you only had 2 days? So then you're going to have to continue after Yom Tov. So in those situations, the Yom Tov itself doesn't count toward the Avelus. Rabbi Lozor Amar Mishchar Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Lozor says, you know, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we no longer have karbanos that are brought on Yom Tov, and therefore Shavuos for us is really only 1 day. In the Beis HaMikdash, the celebration would continue, because it would the 6 days that follow Shavuos are days of tashlumin for the karbanos of Shavuos. So the karbanos relate to the only connection we have to that is that many shuls have a minig not to say tachnun for that period of time, but that's based on the din of tashlumin. So atzeres k'shabbos. Nowadays Shavuos is just like a Shabbos, because it's only a 1 day Yom Tov, so it should have all the same dinim as Shabbos, where it's not mafsik the Avelus, but it does count toward the Avelus. From Gamliel Omer, Rashan of Yom Kippurim, Kiragalim. Forget about Shavuos being like a regal. That's obvious. Even Rashan and Yom Kippur, which even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash were only 1 day, even they count as a real Yom Tov that will be Mafsik the Avelus. So from Gamliel saying the opposite extreme. Rav Elazar wanted to say that even Shavuos should be like a Shabbos. Rav Gamliel says not only is Shavuos a Yom Tov, but even Rashan and Yom Kippurim, which are only 1 day, are a Yom Tov. And the Chum say somewhere in between. That we compromise. That Shavuos has a din of a regel. Shavuos has a din of a Yom Tov, because there are tashlum, 6 days of tashlum for the karban. Whereas Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim have a din like Shabbos. So now the Gemara brings Machlokas Amorayim, whether the dinim of Shloshim are totally batel when Yom Tov starts, or do some of them, some of the dinim of Shloshim, still apply. So Amarav, batlu, gzeiros batlu, yomim lo batlu. That the gzeira of Shloshim becomes batel when Yom Tov starts, but the yomim of Shloshim do not become batel. Meaning, there's some element of Shloshim that continues even though Yom Tov landed after 8 days of Avelus have already been observed. The Chenam Rav Huna, Gzeiros Batlu Yom LaBatlu. Rav Huna says the same expression. Rav Sheshes Amar, but Rav Sheshes disagrees. And he says from the Lashon of the Mishnah that Batlu Emenu Gzeiros Shloshim, it implies Afilu Yom Nami Batlu, that the entirety of Shloshim, every detail of Shloshim is over once the Yom Tov comes after 8 days of Avelus have already been observed. So what is it? What halachos, meaning why would you split the halachos? Why would some halachos of Shloshim become Batel and other halachos of Shloshim remain operative? So my time yom lo batlu, with regard to over here, my time, it doesn't mean what's the reason for it. It means with regard to what halacha do we say that the yomim are lo batlu, that it's still shloshim shim lo gileach erev haregel, that if a person did not shave on erev yom tov, even though we allow him to shave l'kavod haregel because of for yom tov purposes, even though you're normally not allowed to shave during shloshim, but if this fellow did not do that, he didn't shave, shave in advance of Yom Tov, also legalech achar regel. He's not going to be allowed to shave after Yom Tov until the Shloshim is over, because the Yomim of Shloshim have not been batel. So the Gemara brings a raya to what Rav and Rav Huna said from the Lashon of the Tanakama of Abraisa. Vatanya, this Vatanya is, as the Top Rashi says, siyata, right? This is a siyata. Normally Rashi would say benichusa, that Vatanya, that would be the Lashon of Rashi. There are a lot of Lashonos of Rashi and Moed Katan that are not normal Lashonos of Rashi, because the assumption is Rashi and Moed Katan is not really Rashi. I should mention that, 19 blood into the Masechta. It's miyuchas l'Rashi, but it's probably not really Rashi. There are a lot of Masechtas that are like that. You have like a Nazir, and you have other places where it's not really Rashi. But anyway, Vatanya, the Braisa in fact informs us, Hakoveres meso shloshim kodum l'regel, if a person buries his dead 3 days before Yom Tov, but the amen gzera shiva. When Yom Tov starts, shiva is over. Shmoni yom kodem l'regel, if he buries his dead 8 days before Yom Tov, but the amen gzera shloshim, then the shloshim is over. Umegaleach erev haregel, and he can get a haircut on erev Yom Tov, that even though it's only when Yom Tov begins that his shloshim is over, the chum allow him to jump ahead and be megaleach before the Yom Tov for the sake of kavod haregel. Imlogileach erev haregel, but if he didn't utilize that heter, and he did not shave an erev haregel, so he has overgrown hair, asur legaleach achar regel, the iser of shloshim that you're not allowed to shave continues after the Yom Tov, meaning that din of shloshim doesn't go away for him. So it's ironic, meaning that which is the most the biggest kula that he has, the big kula that he's allowed to shave, that we even during the shloshim, even when he's still observing the shloshim an erev haregel, becomes the biggest chumra when he doesn't utilize that kula. Abishol says even if he didn't shave an erev Yom Tov, mutar legaleach achar regel, he's allowed to shave after Yom Tov. Shekshem shemitzvah shloshim v'tels k'zer shiva, kach mitzvah shiva v'tels k'zer shloshim. That just like observing 3 days of avelus will enable Yom Tov to break the shiva, so too observing shivas yimei avelus will enable the Yom Tov to break the shloshim, because there's no reason to be mechalik between the k'zer shiva and the k'zer shloshim. Now the Gemara is medayik from Lashon Tanakama that Rav Sheish is incorrect, that even though it says Lashon of bitul avelus like the Lashon of our Mishnah, we say that he said that yomim lo batlu against the diuk of Rav Sheshes from this lashon in our Mishnah. Now Abishol had said that the Gemara asked, Abishol had said that mitzvah shivas vatel zeir shloshim. That's the first time we had that expression. I mean, we kept on saying 3 days of shiva in advance of Yom Tov will allow Yom Tov to break the shiva, and 8 days of avelus in advance of Yom Tov will allow the Yom Tov to break the shloshim. Now, for the first time, we had 7 days of avelus in advance of Yom Tov will allow the Yom Tov to break the shloshim. So shiva va'anan shmona tanan, which is it? Do you need 8 days in advance of Yom Tov to have observed avelus in order for the shloshim to be over, or is 7 days enough? So Kesav Abishol disagrees with our Mishnah, because he holds miktsas hayom kikulo v'yom shvi olalo lekan ulekan, that if you observed 7 days of avelus, full 7 days of avelus in advance of Yom Tov, on that seventh day, you've already concluded the shiva and begun the shloshim. And since you've begun the shloshim, because of the principle of miktsa yom kikulo, that just like we have a halacha, when a person sits shiva, so they always get up in the morning. Why do they get up in the morning? Don't they have a din that they need to sit shiva for 7 days? Yeah, miktsas hayom kikulo, partial fulfillment, part of that day, it's considered as if you observed the full day of avelus. So the question is, and what about the second half of the day? Do we then say that second half of the day is the beginning of shloshim, or is it just that you observed the part of the day of shiva, but really that whole last day is still part of shiva, it's just that you only need to practice the laws of shiva for part of that day? Rav Shachter points out that in Otsar Gaonim at the end of Masechas Titus, they say, wait a second, Mixiom Kikulo by Avelus, you know, there is one day of the year that we observe Avelus regardless of what's going on in our personal lives, and that is on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara Moed Katan says over here, here though that Mitzayom Kukulo by Avelus Shiva. So why don't we say Mitzayom Kukulo on Tisha B'Av? Right, Tisha B'Av, what do we do in the afternoon? We sit on a chair, you know, because that's only midin minhag. Because Yeshiva al-Karka, we're Mekel after Chatzos, because that's only Midin Minog, but it's not Maker Adin. But all the dinim apply throughout the entire day of Tisha B'Av. Why do we have all the dinim apply? We should say Mitzayom Kukulo on Tisha B'Av. Not only that, in Gilyon Yashas, on Nazir, and Dafayim Beis, he quotes from the Ramah Mipanu that asks the question, why don't we say Mitzayom Kukulo by every Shabbos and every Yom Tov? We should say that you observe some of the Yom Tov, Mitzayom Kukulo, now you don't have to observe the rest of the Yom Tov. You can have half Shabbos. You don't have to observe the rest of Shabbos. So the Ramah Mipanu suggests that it's dafka by inyone tuma and inyone avelus that you say mixiyom kulu. You're not going to say it on inyone kedusha, because adrabu with inyone kedusha we're chayiv to be most of michol ala kodesh. You have to add. You're not allowed to subtract. You have to add to it. So Rav Yosef Engel just points out that that's a little bit strange to say that it's a din in tuma, because we have a din mixiyom kulu when it comes to nazirus, and nazirus relates to kedusha, and you still have an inyan a mixiyom kulu. So Rav Salvechik explained, Rav Shach the quotes in the Sefer Be'ikveyatzon in Simon Yud Zayin, Rav Salvechik explained that the Indian of Mixiyom Kukulo is only by a malos. What does it mean, a malos? So Rav Shachter points out that means that when it's not about a calendar day, when there's something that you're observing that's superimposed on the calendar, but it's not really about that calendar day, then you say Mixiyom Kukulo. Meaning, when do you observe Shiva? There's no calendar day you can point to. It depends when your relative died. That's when you observe the Shiva. But Tisha B'Av is about a calendar day. In fact, the Gemara makes a very big deal about how Tisha B'Av is about a calendar day. The Gemara in Tainus Tav Chav Tes, Megalgulin Chov L'Yom Chayiv, Kishachar Beis HaMikdash Barishon V'Chein B'Shnia, it had to be on Tisha B'Av. V'atisa Kol Ha'edo V'yidnu Es Kolam V'yivku Ha'am B'Layla Hu, they cried out because of by the Chanam Raglim. So that night was Lel Tisha B'Av Haya, the Gemara says was Lel Tisha B'Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atem B'chisam B'chia Shalchinam, Ani Kavo Yelechem B'chia L'Doros. It's that day of Tisha B'Av. That's what the Gemara says, by Yisol Dislay Din that calendar day has a character of Avelus, and therefore there's no Mitzayom Kukulo because it's about that day on the calendar. Now we do observe Mitzayom Kukulo when it comes to the Avelus of Svira. Why is that? Because it's not about the calendar days. They were just told at some point between Pesach and Atzeres, the Gemara in Yivam tells us, at some point between Pesach and Atzeres, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died. So we observe, and there are like five different minhagim of exactly which days, which 33 days, to observe the dinim of Avelus. So it's not about the calendar day, and especially since those days, the Ramban writes on Allah Torah that the days between Pesach and Shavuos, Adraba, are holy days. They're not days of mourning. The days that are considered to be cholamoi type of days. It's just that it happens to be that a terrible event happened those days. Just like when a person loses a relative, a terrible event happened those days. Now Tosas of Sefer Nida and Davayin Alvan Beis writes that just like this Machlok Shabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, by a Zava who goes to the mikvah on the seventh day of her Shiva Nekiyim in the morning, and then she sees Dam later that day, says Machlokas, whether it's Sosa the Mafreya, so there's also Machlokas whether a Zava is able to be Tovel at night. When we say Mixiyom Kukulo, can she be Tovel at night? So if Shatza points out, what's the connection between those two issues? Whether a later seeing of Dam on day 7 is going to ruin her Shiva Nekiyim, or whether she's allowed to go at night. So he points out that they relate very much, because they're arguing about the Geder of the Din of Mixiyom Kukulo. That according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mixiyom Kukulo means we split the day into two. Right? That's what's going on in our Gemara. Does Mixiyom Kukulo mean we split the day into two, or does it mean that Nihugim of part of the day are as if you are Noeg those Nihugim all of the day, but not that the day is split into two, right? Our Gemara, the seventh day of Shiva, does that count as the seventh day of Shiva, and also the eighth day, also the beginning of Shloshim? That would mean you split the day into two. Or maybe no, you only observe Avelus at the beginning of the seventh day of Shiva, but the whole seventh day is the seventh day of Shiva. So that's the same issue. If a woman sees Dam later in the day after doing a Bedikah in the morning, so does that affect anything? If you split the day into two, so the Dam she sees later has got nothing, it's already the next day. But if you don't split split the day into two, then when she sees later in the day, that it's still during the Shivanikim. It's just that we allow her to do the niug of doing a bedika only in the morning, and that's the same issue when it comes to night. That by night you may be able to have a niug, you're not able to have the niug rather. You're not able to have a niug of svira at night because svira requires that a woman actually does a bedika, but to split the day, maybe that you can do even belayla. Okay, vaytu the gemara. Amar chisam ravina rashila halacha kabashol. We pass like kabashol about both inyanim, both by mitzvah kula, that once you observe part of the seventh day, the avelus shiva is going to stop and the avelus shloshim begins, and both as and with regard to whether yamim are batlu or not. That even if you didn't shave erev haregel, you're allowed to shave after yom tov. Modem cham la bashol shchal shmini shel aliyos b'shabbes. The cham agreed to Abishol that if the eighth day falls out on Shabbos erev haregel, which happens to be erev yom tov, that shemutu legaleach erev Shabbos. So you're allowed to be megaleach on erev Shabbos. Kiman also Adam Rav Amram Rav Aval Kivin Shabbos the Menachem Neatzlo Mutter Berachitza. Who's the shita that holds that once the Menachemim get up from the Aval, he's allowed to his dinim of Shavar over and he's allowed to bathe. Kiman Kabashol. That assumes like Kabashol says Mitziyom Kukulo and the Shiva's over. Amra by Halacha Kabashol b'yom Shiva. We pass on like Kabashol on that seventh day of Avelus that we apply Mitziyom Kukulo. Umodim Chachamim La Abashol b'yom Shloshim. And the Chachamim agree to Abashol that when it comes to day 30, Damrin Mitziyom Kukulo, that we say Mitziyom Kukulo, and you're allowed to be Megaleach after Miktsas Hayom of day 30 has already passed. Rava Amar, Rava says, both with regard to Shiva and with regard to Shloshim, the Chacham disagree with Abishol and hold that we do not say Mitzayom Kukulo. Halacha Kabishol b'yom Shloshim, ve'ein halacha Kabishol b'yom Shiva. When Nardai Amri and the Nardai say, the Chachmei Narda say, that halacha Kabishol b'zu u'b'zu, that the Chachamim disagree with Abishol on both matters, but we paskin like Abishol on both matters, both with regard to Shiva and with regard to Shloshim. Tamar Shmuel, halach k'divrei mekel ba'avel. The reason we pass on the Kabashal on both matters is because the halach is k'divrei mekel ba'avel. That's a rule that you have in Hilchas Avelus that we always paskin like the divrei mekel. Now that rule has guidelines. It doesn't mean, well, what's the point of ever having any machlokas in Hilchas Avelus? Every machlokas, you're always going to be able to say halach k'divrei mekel ba'avel. So obviously there are guidelines. It doesn't mean that every single time we're always going to go to Lukula in Hilchas Avelus. It may only apply to Machlokas in Tanoim. There may be other guidelines that apply when it comes to Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'Avel. Shloshim Yom Min Aval. So now the Gemara says, where do we learn the din of it that an Avel has 30 days? That there is 30 days of Avelus? That there's any Indian of Shloshim? So Yalef Pera Pera Min Nazir. We learn from the Lashon Pera that the Torah uses in both the context of Avelus and in the context of Nazirus. Ksiv Hacha, the pasuk says when it talks about the mitzvah of Aaron Ubanov when during the Avelus of Nadav and Aviu, Rashechem al Tifra'u and Uvigdechem lo Tifra'u, that you should be different than other Avelim, right? The pasuk is telling them that even though other Avelim have to grow their hair, you're not allowed to grow your hair out because you're Kohanim and you have to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and you have to appear with a proper prestige and the proper, you have to look nice when you're serving the Beis HaMikdash. So, Ksiv Hasam, and it says when it comes to a Nazir, Gadel Pera Sa'arosho, that he grows Pera Sa'arosho. So, how long does the Nazir grow his hair? Malalan Shloshim Afkan Shloshim. And Nazirus is 30 days, so we assume that for Avelus also it's 30 days. Vahasam Inolan, where do we see that Nazirus is 30 days? Some Rav Masna Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom. We know that a Stam Nazirus person accepts Nazirus, the automatic is that it's 30 days. My time, Amar Kra, Yihi Kadosh Yiyah, Yiyah, Begematria, Tlasanavu, it says Kadosh Yiyah, and the Gematria of Yiyah is 30, so that's how we know that Stam Nazirus is Shloshim Yom. Some of the Rishonim, the Pirush HaRash, and Mesechus Nazir, and others point out that must be an Asmachta, and it must be that there's a, from the Torah Shabal Peh, that we know the Nazirus is Shloshim Yom, because Gematria is not one of the Midos Shatar and Dreshes Ben. Other Rishonim, Shinim Kvetz, says, well, maybe it is one of the Midos Shatar and Dreshes Ben. When we say every morning that there are 13 midos shatar drashas ben, those are 13 that we choose to highlight, that Rabbi Shmuel chose to highlight. But there are many more midos shatar just as bad. We have sometimes the number of times a word appears in the Torah. How do we know Lamitas Melachos of Shabbos? Because the number of times a word appears in the Torah, you count up, and that's also one of the Midos Shatara and the Drash is bad. So maybe Gematria is one of the Midos Shatara and Drash is bad, but that's a machlokas Rishonim, whether it is or isn't. Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Shua, Kol Modim K'shchal Shlishi Shal Aliyos Erev HaRegel Shasu Berchitza Ad HaErev. Everyone agrees that if the third day of Avelis is Erev Yom Tov, that even though the Avelis Shiva is going to stop when Yom Tov begins, you're not allowed to bathe in advance of that Yom Tov. You're not allowed to prepare for that Yom Tov by bathing. Meaning we're not going to be makil on the first 3 days of Shiva to allow taking a bath at that point. Amar Rav Nechemi b'Reid Rav Shua Ashkachtinu l'Rav Papi l'Rav Papa Diyasvi v'Kamri. Rav Papi and Rav Papa were saying Halacha Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Shua, that we paskin like Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Shua. But Ika da Amri, others say in a slightly different lashon that Rav Papi and Rav Papa did not paskin like Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Shua, but they not that they paskin like him, but Amar Rav Nechemi b'Reid Rav Yosef Ashkachtinu l'Rav Papi l'Rav Papa. It was a group of three. Rav Papi and Rav Papa were together with Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, and they all said together, "Hakol modim shemchal shlishi lios erev haregel shasu berchitza ad haerev." That if the third day of Avelus is erev Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to bathe in advance of Yom Tov. It's one thing to say that the first 3 days are assumed to be the most severe form of Avelus, and we're not makel on those first 3 days of Avelus, even though it comes up on Erev HaRegel. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Shaila of what happens if a person gets buried on Yom Tov. How do we cheshbon both Shiva and Shloshim when it comes to a person who's buried on Yom Tov? Everyone have a great day.